Thanks. Just like every other general manager here, probably very excited about the process that's getting ready to take place. It's our first opportunity and our coaches' opportunity to get in front of some of these kids that weren't at the Senior Bowl or some of the All-Star games. It's an opportunity to get to know some of these juniors, and I think this is going to be a very significant class of juniors that's going to truly impact the depth of this draft. So, you know, we come in full force down here, and this is where we feel we build our roster, and this is a starting point of us building from some of the stuff that we were able to accomplish last year and get done, and hopefully we'll have that continued success building through the draft. Questions? No, I didn't know if I was going to get through a Percy Harvin question or not during this process. So, as I stated earlier, we have no intent to trade Percy Harvin. Anything related to his contract or any discussions will all be kept internally. I think everybody understands what type of player Percy Harvin is. He's a dynamic playmaker, not only on offense, the things that he can do at different positions, but also what he brings us as a kickoff returner. That's it? Thank you. We put every prospect through the what we do from a character background check, but how we interview our psychological profiling on each player. We make our determinations, and I rely on our experts in that area to tell us if potentially we can handle a player like that, if he's going to be a good fit in our locker room, or if this is a guy we definitely want to stay clear of because it's going to be an issue for us if we bring him into our building. Along with those opinions and sitting there face-to-face with that player and getting to know that player and having our coaches get to know those players, we're a very big believer in the interview process. Down at the Senior Bowl, we have our whole coaching staff interview everybody at their position. All our scouts, myself and Leslie, will try to hone in on as many guys as we can. But to make sure you're bringing in that type of quality person, not only as a football player, but a fit in the locker room and what you're looking for off the field, those are the things we try to uncover and determine.
Rick, you mentioned the junior class being strong. How is it at the defensive position? What have you seen from that group as a whole?
You know, we've just got out of 8 days of draft meetings and kind of preset our board before we get down here and feel this is, at least in my opinion, one of the strongest defensive tackle classes that's came out in a while. So as long and with the defensive ends and some pretty good offensive linemen also, I think this draft is not a sexy, but splashy it's going to be from a media standpoint or from the fan standpoint, but there is a lot of very, very good football players in this draft. They're going to have a major impact on a lot of teams that may not be those recognizable names or those splash positions per se.
Rick, how involved are your coaches in the draft process? Are they heavily involved or?
Yeah, we have the one thing I think that helped us last year and where we had some success with the kids that we brought in last year is our scouts and our coaches had a huge meeting and identified what it takes from a characteristic standpoint and a skill set standpoint to function in our schemes offensively and defensively. And by getting everybody on the same page, we identify guys as a Viking fit. Is this guy going to fit what we need him to do in his particular position? And there are guys that are very good football players, but they may not fit from a scheme standpoint. So our coaches get very heavily involved. We got the initial board kind of positioned right now. Those will get maneuvered as our coaches go out and get to know these kids here at the combine. If they go out to a couple of spring workouts here and there, as we bring them in on the top 30 and as they do their film evaluation, we will really hone in with the coach's opinion on whether he's going to fit what we need to do from a schematic standpoint or not, along with the character and everything else.
Is it more the coach gives the scheme fit, or he's evaluating the player?
He's evaluating a player. I mean, he's not going to know if he's a scheme fit if he's not evaluating a guy. So he's got to know his strengths and weaknesses. And I really, you know, rely on not only what I've seen, but our scouts have seen, but what our coaches are saying too. And if there is a discrepancy between the personnel and the coaches, we'll sit down and do a group study and actually watch them together to come up with a consensus. Generally, he is a very explosive football player. It's amazing that for his size, and I don't know his official size yet, but what he does from a return standpoint, what he did from a receiver standpoint, what he did in that Oklahoma game from a running back standpoint, he's a pretty unique football player. Yeah, no, it's we're going to find out if he can handle the media or not. I'm sure he's going to be up at this podium one day and people will have some questions for him. So, but he's getting a lot of experience on being handling the media scrutiny per se. But we'll have him in our room. We're going to spend a lot of time with him because he's a very talented prospect. People have asked, you know, why didn't play so good in the Alabama game? I don't know the answer to that, but I'm sure there'll be a lot of questions, you know, thrown his way. But I know when you look at the overall big picture, he is an extremely talented football player.
How much do you guys kind of watch, like what he gets up and speaks to before?
We'll watch that. I mean, I think that's an important part of the process, is how these kids get up and handle the media when they have to talk in front of you guys. It's not a be-all, end-all decision maker, but we can tell, well, this guy's going to need some polish or technique if we do draft this guy, to how to handle the media, or this guy's pretty polished. The one thing we've done this year, too, is we've done a lot of digging on social media and have a pretty in-depth picture of these players that are involved or not involved in social media, how many times they tweet or twit. I don't know the technical, I'm not a technical guy. But it's interesting to see the patterns on some of these social media players as well.
Is that something you guys did do for this year?
I'd say a lot more in depth this year, and probably just because of all the highlight of what happened with a Notre Dame linebacker. We were very fortunate and felt very strong about Harrison last year and moved up into the first round to go get Harrison. I really believe that you have to take care of the middle of your offense and defense, and Harrison made a huge difference in our defense when on the back end, not only because he's a good football player, but because he's very intelligent. It's going to be interesting to see what some of the things that the offensive coaches did this year on the read options and things like that. How are the defensive coaches going to adjust to that? But safeties, because they're playing against removed tight ends that are almost like big receivers coming out, do they have the ability to play, you know, man coverage against those type of athletes? So I think the safety position is a good safety class this year as well. But it makes a difference on your back end, especially if that guy's going to be the quarterback of your defense from there. Our scheme is interchangeable. We go free and strong, and when we're looking for guys, they have to be able to do both. You know, Jamarca is an unrestricted free agent. We'll meet with his agent down here. Feel very good about some of the young depth that we have. Mr. Raymond, Robert Blanton, who had to step in and play last year, stepped in and played very well and was a core special team player for us. And he was a slash corner that we moved to safety, both him and we'll look at the depth, you know, in this draft as well to add, continue to add playmakers. I think a lot of that will determine on what happens with us being able to keep our own players.
You made mention of Tavon Austin and the emergence, thanks to what we've seen all around the league, of the Percy Harvin position, as some people call it, the slot guy who can move into the backfield, Danny Woodhead, whoever you want to mention. That has to also, I suppose, change the way you look at some of the guys. You mentioned safeties. You know, a few years ago, people loved guys like John Lynch and Steve Atwater, but you would get a little sweaty, I would think, about that guy matching up against Tavon Austin in space. Do you now, when you're evaluating safeties, think about that, about this guy might have to D-up Tavon Austin?
And, you know, we really try to hone in on our division and who we're playing against Green Bay, against Detroit, against Chicago. Those teams have very good quarterbacks, and they have some pretty talented skill guys, because those are the teams I know we're going to have to face twice a year. So as we, the coaches determine, you know, the scheme we're going to run, and as we bring in those players, that's also a determining factor on a type of personnel that we're going to have to match up, especially within the division. So, yes.
How hard is it to balance when you have a guy like Adrian Peterson and also expose a guy like Chris Carter? How hard is it to balance, and how much work do y'all put into balancing the passing and the running game to keep everybody happy and keep the ball
sometimes? I get paid to bring him in. Coaches get paid to solve those issues. But I know it's a tough balance because of Kyle Rudolph and his emergence as a tight end. But I think the more playmakers we can bring, the more it's going to help our young quarterback continue to grow and develop. And you can never have enough talented players. I don't want to ever say, you know, Adrian's has to get his touches. Percy has to get his touches, whether we utilize it some from a running back or from a slot or from a kickoff returner. But he's got to touch the ball X amount of times just because he is that talented. So I know Bill Musgrave, our offensive coordinator, and our offensive coaching staff really have to know and understand our personnel and have to get the ball into those guys' hands when you have potential playmakers like that, because those guys help you win ball games.
One more. Your philosophy of building through the draft, but also supplementing the free agency.
I'm not a real big believer in spending in free agency. We're always going to try to build through the draft and continue to do that, because I think that way you maintain a roster that can be competitive year in and year out, not only on the field but also from a financial standpoint and staying within the cap and looking at the overall cash. I think you have a lot more success when you sign your own players as unrestricted free agents, because you know them the best. And if you screw up signing one of your own guys and doesn't pan out, then that's a fault on you. I think it's a little more riskier when you go out and try to sign other teams' UFAs. I don't know if you looked at the statistical analysis on how many of those guys actually have had success coming into new programs. And sometimes even those guys, when they come in, I don't want to call them rookies because they're veterans, but take time to adjust to their new teammates, take time to adjust to the new surroundings, take time to adjust to the new offense they're running. So it's not always as smooth a transition as people would think it would be. But, you know, last year we took the position on not spending. We spent some money on John Carlson. But other than that, we spent it on one-year guys that we gave really low contracts. I don't want to call them rental players. And then when you draft, and my philosophy is always try to have 9 or 10 draft picks come in. It's an open competition that way. So a veteran may be slightly ahead of him as you're going through training camp, as you're going through the preseason, but is that rookie going to pass him in week 3, 4, or 5? Does he have the chance to be developed into a better player than where that current vet is? So it leaves you, it doesn't lock you into saying we have to keep this vet because we paid him X amount. We can keep who we think is the best available player, the best player for us. And that's the kind of philosophy we did last year.
Take one here and then we're done.
We have no intent on trading Percy Harvin. Thank you. Thanks, guys.